Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Daniel Foster, who is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Dan, this is actually our last day-to-day edition of the Three Martini Lunch for the year. Jim and I will kick off our six-part year-end series tomorrow with all our end-of-the-year awards for best, most, worst political figures and moments throughout the year. So
exciting!
It is. It is. I'm sure.
I'm wearing Versace this year to the awards.
So excellent.
I wanted everyone to know that.
Well, today's good martini is good primarily for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. As most people know, New Jersey's gubernatorial race is next year. It's an odd-numbered year, but New Jersey and Virginia have governor's races next year. And in New Jersey, Chris Christie, of course, is running for re-election. And it's probably going to be a pretty tough race anyway, since New Jersey is a Democratic leading state. But the biggest threat to Chris Christie was coming from Newark Mayor Cory Booker, who has established himself as a pretty sharp guy and a guy who doesn't come across as too radical. And in New Jersey, that makes a big difference. But Booker has now decided he is not running for governor in 2013. Instead, he is laying the groundwork for a 2014 bid for the U.S. Senate. I guess that's a little bit of a hint to Frank Lautenberg that it's time to hit the bricks, because Lautenberg has not officially announced that he's not running again, but since he'll, I think, be at least 90, if not even higher than that, it's a fairly safe bet that Lautenberg won't be there. But the fact that Chris Christie doesn't have to run against probably the most formidable challenger he would have had in the Garden State, Dan, that's got to make him and New Jersey Republicans like you pretty happy.
Yeah, it does. I think everyone knew that Booker was going to be Christie's biggest threat. It would have been a fun race to watch and a fun race to cover. I think I would have put the odds at about, you know, maybe 60-40 against Christie getting re-election, which is pretty close in a Democratic state against a superstar opponent. But, you know, I think a lot of things happened at exactly the right time for Christie, and I think some of them he was responsible for. Like, he just got a major union endorsement from a private sector union who he's been on much friendlier terms with than the public sector unions in New Jersey, and I think that was timed to nudge Booker away from challenging him. And other things, obviously, I don't want to sound like Chris Matthews here, but you know, his response to Hurricane Sandy being widely lauded across the state just by your average residents who think he's doing a good job on that. You know, in general, his cutting taxes, bringing business into New Jersey, has his approval rating up at about 54-55%, depending on which polls you look at, which is really good for a Republican incumbent in New Jersey. And also, you know, people call Christie a rhino or say he's squishy or not really conservative. I mean, he makes, you know, Christie Todd Whitman look like Karl Marx. So we're not used to conservative Republicans in New Jersey. And for a guy who is as conservative, especially on fiscal issues, as Christie is, it's definitely encouraging that he's got approval ratings north of 50%. And at this point, I think is better than even money for reelection. I hope I don't have to eat those words.
Well, even money is not exactly guaranteeing a win, so I don't think you're going to have to do too much backtracking if he doesn't win. But as we just mentioned, not having Cory Booker across the debate stage or on the other side of the ballot from him is definitely going to help. I'm sure they'll come up with someone who will be competitive in New Jersey, but to not have to face the toughest potential challenger is always a good thing. On to martini number two now, and on to a Senate race for 2014, not involving Cory Booker, that most people would have thought would be relatively safe Republican, and it may still be come 2014. But an initial poll from PPP, which is a Democratic polling firm, shows that Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell at 47%, he's already been there by 2014, he'll have been there for 30 years in the U.S. Senate from Kentucky. But against Ashley Judd, he can't even get to 50%. Ashley Judd at 43%. So she's basically within the margin of error. And Dan, obviously, we would prefer Mitch McConnell to Ashley Judd, given the politics, with the one caveat that if she got Morgan Freeman to narrate her life in the Senate, it might be a pretty tempting idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Mitch McConnell's big problem is he hasn't done as much nudity over his career as Ashley Judd has.
That's good for everyone involved.
Sorry to put that image in people's minds, but I don't think Ashley Judd would be a serious threat. I mean, I haven't looked at the dynamics of the race closely enough. She is fairly, I mean, as far as celebrities go, she's a fairly effective communicator for her causes. She comes across as smart and and serious. But I'll tell you, Mitch McConnell, I think the longer I've been covering Washington, the more I think that he's just pretty much the sharpest political operator that the Republicans have in Washington at this point. That's no insult to any of the other bright lights in Congress. But I always say about Mitch McConnell, if Mitch McConnell is occupying a position on the political feasibility of a something the GOP wants to do, that he's usually right about it. And that can be very good news or very bad news. So, on a serious note, keep your eyes for where Mitch McConnell is on the fiscal cliff, because wherever he ends up is probably the thing that's going to end up happening. I wonder if he's sweating too much over a potential Ashley Judd challenge. I trust him, as you said, he's been in the Senate for 30 years, to do what it takes to get reelected. If that's, in fact, what he decides to do. But it would be one of the more interesting things to watch. And I should say, as much as I hate the idea of celebrity Democrats thinking that they're entitled to national office, I've been very pleased that I have heard Al Franken's name far less often than I expected to when he was elected. So I thank Al Franken for keeping mostly quiet and minding his own business in Washington.
I think Mitch McConnell will be fine, especially if it's him against Ashley Judd. The only thing that might have gone in her favor is if Election Day was in March, because I'm pretty sure there's more Kentucky fans than Louisville fans in Kentucky, and she's obviously a rabid Wildcat fan. But since the election is in November, she'd pretty much be out of luck, I think. Martini number three now, and this would be funny if it weren't so pathetic. And this is President Obama yesterday in the White House briefing room. He stepped out briefly to announce that Vice President Joe Biden was going to lead this national task force, essentially, on figuring out which gun control measures to pursue, and that'll come back next month. And then he took a bunch of questions, almost none of which were about the reason he came out there. Most of the questions were about the fiscal cliff. But then he kind of merged the elementary school shooting tragedy with the fiscal cliff, as well as Hurricane Sandy, and decided that because America has been through a lot, Republicans need to agree with him. Here's what he said.
And when you think about what we've gone through over the last couple of months, a devastating hurricane, and now one of the worst tragedies in our memory. Yeah, the country deserves folks to be willing to compromise on behalf of the greater good and not tangle themselves up in a whole bunch of ideological positions that don't make much sense.
Dan, talk about a complete non sequitur. I don't know if this is a new low, but it's definitely low.
Yeah, this was fairly shameless. My favorite thing about the whole spectacle, by the way, was that as soon as I heard that Joe Biden was heading up a task force, I wasn't worried about gun control anymore, because if it has the spectacular success of the middle class task force and the stimulus task force and the jobs task force that he's headed up, I don't think we have too much to be worried about there in terms of onerous gun control. As far as the president's comparison, I mean, it was almost inevitable. You almost kind of saw it coming. It's sad. It's inappropriate. I'm sure he means well by it. But it's just exploitive, and the other thing is, if you look at the substance of the policies that have come out, this is the John Boehner's Plan B, which has to be a compromise because everybody hates it, right? That's the definition of a compromise, right?
Right.
Heritage hates it, Club for Growth hates it, and the president has threatened to veto it, even though it's a position they used to occupy, a year ago. Plan B is a pretty big compromise for Republicans, and it would also be a compromise for Democrats. And the contours of the fiscal cliff deals that we've seen, Plan A, as it were, is a compromise too. So I don't really know what more he's looking for, except, as you said, agree with me.
That's pretty much been his strategy all along. So we'll see who blinks here. The House is going to do its work today, and we'll see if this bill ever makes it over to the Senate, and if it does, whether it ever makes it over to the president. But we've still got 11 days left here, Dan, assuming the Mayans weren't right. So I'm sure something even more completely unacceptable to everyone will end up being the final deal, if there is a deal before the final deadline. So we all get to wait for that. Merry Christmas, everyone. Dan, always great to have you with us. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks as always.
Merry Christmas, Greg. Thanks.
Daniel Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. In for Jim Garrity today, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim Garrity and me on Friday for the first in our 6 end-of-year installments, our end-of-the-year awards for the political year that was 2012. Join us on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.